Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope.
It's the only show with better than average gas mileage.
I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope,
we're live streaming to basements across America. We run through the movies we've seen over the last month, and Hologram Adam is booked to play at the Basilica Block Party. Very strange.
And now, here are your hosts, Jarrett, Adam, and Shane.
Hey everybody, this is the Scope podcasting program, streaming to you live,
and also recording,
across America, recording, we're doing it all, episode 122.
Just America though.
Just America, yeah. We're
censored everywhere else.
Yeah, they don't let us into
Canada,
Afghanistan. Strangely enough, Syria loves us. We go right in.
Yeah, very strange.
So as Jared teased...
That's me.
And the top of the show, we are now, I don't even know what you would call the program that we're using, but we are beaming out imagery of us doing the podcast. I'm looking in the camera right now.
See, you don't need to actually look in the camera. You can just conversate normally.
I'm looking right at it and waving.
You're acting like you've never heard of these streaming technologies before.
I don't know what it is.
Or just cameras in general.
Yeah, what is a camera? It's stealing my soul, and I'm less of a man.
You're like the girl from Mannequin when she didn't understand.
Kim Cattrall?
Yeah,
played by
sure.
Kim Cattrall. TV's Kim Cattrall.
We actually have one guest viewer in the audience right now.
No, what a sucker. And it's us.
Yeah.
I've got it running on my iPhone.
I got to remember to switch to me when I'm talking sometimes because I'll forget.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about this. We've got two cameras running, Jared.
Yeah.
How is this going to work? So we can get a great broadcast sent out to people across the world.
Well, I think maybe a few weeks down the road we'll have a great broadcast.
Just a broadcast.
Yeah. So I've got two different two webcams plugged into my computer here. I should switch to me so you can hear me and see me. And I'm using a program called XSplit Broadcaster to do. The switching and also these little overlays. So, hey, look, there's my name.
We need a monitor here so we can.
We need a monitor, Jared.
I'm working on it.
He's working on it.
This is baby steps. This is called a beta test, and I will progressively add more things to the setup. And
right now, we both have Hitler mustaches.
Just why is that?
You guys can probably, if you want to see what's going on, you can pull up the stream on your iPads there probably, and
I never want to know.
Take a peek.
Yeah.
You can see. You can see we've grown to two viewers now.
Have you guys seen...
there's one viewer.
This is...
Sorry.
This is...
That's actually our show from now on. I was going to say, live ticker stream of how many viewers we have.
It's going to be
It's
like,
weird to say viewers, by the way.
Right, instead of listeners.
Because it took... Forever it took me... I would always call our listeners viewers, and then I have to correct myself, and now we actually will have both.
Well, the viewer at the moment.
Viewer.
Singular.
Our viewer.
So, John...
That's going to be the tricky one.
John from NKY... He's our viewer right now. Hello, John.
Hello. And that's our show. Thank you.
Yeah. So I think hopefully if we get a few viewers, maybe in the comment block at the end of the show, we'll take some questions if they have them.
Oh, I like that idea.
Just do a little live interactive thing.
So in 2 hours, get ready. You can ask some questions.
It's coming.
Start thinking about it. So a bunch of things to talk about. It's been a while since we've done the show, but we are back.
Just realized I didn't shower this morning.
Oh, boy.
It seems...
Jared, when are you going to have Scentavision so they can actually smell Adam's BO?
I don't know. I'm working on just actually paying attention to who's talking and switching first. So,
so I guess I'm going to have to focus my attention on Adam.
Ready to? Go two.
Go two. Two. And on my mark, on three. Go.
Maybe it would have made more sense to do just like a split screen to start off. But I'm ambitious, we're going to say.
And sound effects on three. Two, three, hit it.
No. No. I'm not there yet.
So Jared was nice enough to point out that this is our official 6th year anniversary of doing The Scope. We've been doing this program for 6 years. We're not making too big of a deal of it other than we made it 6 years, which
yeah.
I would have never guessed we would have done this for 6 years. What about you, Adam?
Yeah, I guess not. Like, motivation-wise, I feel like at any point in time, we all could have just like shrugged our shoulders and be like, all right, bye. But we didn't for some reason.
We just kept doing it.
I think empathy towards stopping might have actually been what kept us going. Like
we're just on a roll.
Yeah.
You know, it's inertia.
Well,
of the best kind.
But it's like mostly a flat.
Yeah.
There's like someone's going to push the boulder, and it's just very, very slowly just rolling with that.
Well, I mean, to expand upon that, we have been talking about flipping the script a little bit on our show.
Yeah.
There we go.
I'm going to do the sound effects from now on, guys.
That might be part of the equation, but we want to freshen up the show a little bit, so preliminary discussions have started.
Oh yeah!
To make this the rest of this year the year of the scope. How about
That's
that?
The whole year.
The
huh?
whole
oh,
year.
Oh boy!
So we're starting with the live streaming of the show. That's always very exciting. But we also want to try to get the show to everyone on a more regular basis, which means more shows, probably shorter time periods or shorter show lengths.
Yeah.
So they're more digestible.
Yep. Smaller. Yep. Shorter shows and more frequent release schedule. I think one of the keys to building an audience is definitely number one, switching to your camera when you're speaking, and number two,
on three, go.
Number two is doing having a reliable release schedule, so people it almost becomes like appointment listening or viewing.
Like must-see TV. We're following the NBC.
Right. Something like that, yeah.
Model.
So, and I think we've been a little lax on that. I mean, we tried to keep it to a bi-weekly release, but, you know, we stumble here and there. So, yeah, this is our effort to improve upon that. I think we're going for a weekly release.
Weekly release. We also have our IPO coming out pretty soon.
We really need you guys to think about investing in the scope as a corporate entity.
I'm just watching. Jared now has
got three computers. He's got an iPhone. He's got a tape deck. He's
pulling the iPad too.
I'm ready.
LL Cool J on 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, go.
That's the best I can muster. I have no LL Cool J.
I see a tape right behind you that says LL Cool J.
Oh, I could probably
fire him up.
I could probably pipe in a tape for funds.
Going back to Cali. So yeah, that's what's in store for our listeners in year 6 of the scope. Pretty darn exciting. We'll see if we're actually motivated to do it, but I think that Jared is really, really excited to start whipping up some changes. So hopefully he can be the he can be the leader.
Yeah, I mean, I've sort of unofficially declared 2012 my year of production.
Yes,
I have a lot of different projects.
Irons in the fire, as
mostly
they say.
This live streaming thing that I have to remember to switch to when I'm speaking again. So I've got my band, and I've got this, and just other things going on that.
Other things.
Does Jared make you feel like you don't do shit? Because that's how I feel.
I think so. I don't know why he's trying to make us feel bad about ourselves, but. So it goes.
I don't know. Not trying to make you feel bad, but I'm just sort of trying to keep myself motivated to get stuff done. So I've been recording songs with the band. We've been shooting some video. We shot a music video that we still have to edit. We have plans for a couple of other little video projects.
Vignettes.
And then, you know, the scope
gets
in there, too.
What sort of Rube Goldberg thing do you have in your video? As my understanding, that's the only thing that music video
What's your big F you to OK Go on this one?
We have sponsorship by Jaguar.
I kind of like it.
We're going to be driving a car around
instead
town.
Of a Hyundai or whatever.
Yeah. Very strangely, they want us to wear hollowed out watermelons on our heads. I don't understand it.
It's racist.
Hey, they're going to pay for the video. So
that's going to some very dark places.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully, you know, you can push that production quality and effort into the scope as well. And maybe we'll even have some videos online for people to see portions of our show.
That's a plan.
It's very exciting.
Eventually.
We'll get to it. But yeah. It's difficult with a show like this because there's so many parts. And to really get it where we want it, it takes a consistent, concerted effort all the time until you kind of get where you wanted to go. I remember when we first started putting the scope together, it was a lot of time, a lot of thought, and just...
I mean, talking like those initial production
trying to put everything together. It was a lot of writing, a lot of time put into it. And you know, the results were good, but
it's been pretty easy for me, guys.
Adam, not as hard for him. But jokes on him because all of the pressure is put on his shoulders for this time around.
Indeed.
So it'll be very exciting. So stay tuned for that, and hopefully you'll see some results in the near future. Thank you.
We're up to two viewers, by the way.
All right, this is exciting.
Yes.
So let's tell those two viewers.
I think I'm the second one, by the way.
No, I've got two discrete users. Oh. No, not guests.
Oh. All right.
So,
sorry.
As Jared said earlier in the show, we have seen a lot of movies in the last month, shockingly, between the three of us.
Yeah, it's like feast or famine with us.
I know. So we are going to do kind of a review roundup for all those films. We'll give you our scope opinions on all of these great motion pictures. Some of them practically out of the theaters. Some might be there for months to come. You just never know. Following that, we've got Under the Scope, in which Adam tells us all the latest and greatest news. He loves to do it.
Shit.
And coming soon as well. So it is going to be a standard but typically great Scope show for you to listen to and to watch too.
Right.
There we go. So episode 122, Jared, let's push it along. Everybody, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. We'll be back right after this.
This is the Fump.
You have a beard and you're wearing a tie. There's really no reason why we can't be men friends, men friends, men friends, men friends.
Then I see this big guy in a hockey mask. It's Friday.
The Funny Music Project at thefump.com. THEFUMP.com. Funny.
Hey, everybody, we're back. The Scope episode 122 in the Hizzy for Shizzy. It's time of the show where I move over to the iPad. I've got all of my notes typed out in a digital format. At the same time, if something funny comes up that might inspire me for the title of the show, Adam, I jot it down right here on this regular piece of paper.
So you're combining the old world with the new
world. Old world, new. Maybe at some point I will be able to ditch the paper altogether, but I really like having notes and drawing illicit and explicit pictures of you while you're doing the news. Let's see. Episode 122 brings us the review roundup. Time in which we take a look at all of the movies we've seen in the past month, give you a little summary of them, and then throw in that Scope review and Scope score to enlighten the masses. Here we go.
I got a lot of things to juggle here.
We really do.
I got sound clips and scores and, video switching.
I'm really excited that at least two people will be able to watch live Jared have a complete mental breakdown.
of my own making,
right,
by the way.
They get to see what we get to see every week. Try to fix this.
Every third or fourth week, usually. Not every week.
All right.
Come on.
So here we go. All right. Episode 122 review roundup. The first film we'll be taking a look at this week. Hey, this isn't rocket science, Jared. It's a beta test. 21 Jump
Your
Street.
Your part isn't a beta test. You're 6 years in, pal.
I thought I'm resetting. 21 Jump Street is the movie adaptation of the 1987 television series, but this one is a comedy, Adam.
What would you call the original show? I thought it was pretty funny.
I never really watched it.
Docudrama?
You know,
there
you
go. Shaky cam?
Shaky cam, yeah. Some sort of found footage. It stars Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum as high school rivals. I like to call one a geek, one a jock. They're named Schmidt and Janko. And they're ready to leave their adolescent problems behind. Joining the police force in a secret Jump Street unit, they use their youthful appearances to go undercover in a local high school. As they trade their guns and badges for backpacks, Schmidt and Janko risk their lives to investigate a violent and dangerous drug ring. But they find that high school is nothing like they left it just a few years earlier, and neither expects that they will have to confront the terror and anxiety of being a teenager again and all the issues they thought they had left behind.
Oh.
Pretty good, huh?
Good reading of the plot.
Thanks. Our first clip features Ice Cube. He's playing Captain Dixon.
Dixon?
Dixon.
Whoa.
Giving the new Jump Street members Hill and Tatum an uplifting orientation speech.
That was a dramatic reading right there.
I know. Clip one, please.
Insert clip here.
Oh, my.
I wasn't kidding.
Everybody comfortable?
Yeah.
This is fair use Ustream,
by
the way.
Get your motherfucking ass up when I'm talking.
Whoa, potty mouth.
You will be going undercover as high school students. You are here simply because you look young. You some Justin Bieber, Miley Cyrus looking motherfuckers.
Captain Sassy.
I know what you're thinking. Angry? black captain. It ain't nothing but a stupid stereotype. Well, guess what, motherfuckers? I'm black. And I work my ass off to be the captain. And sometimes I get angry. So suck a dick.
Whoa.
What I'm trying to show you is embrace your stereotypes. Like this guy right here. Handsome, and he's probably a dummy. And then this guy. He's short and insecure.
Can't
and
he's
probably
him.
Good with money.
You are good with money. So, clip two is a doozy. Jonah and Channing have infiltrated high school. And
how are you getting these clips? Is it illegal?
It's YouTube. Just YouTube. Anyway, they've infiltrated high school, and they're meeting with the teenage drug dealer for the first time.
Oh.
But to prove their loyalty, our bumbling jump streeters have to sample the goods. Jared! Camera two.
Take it here so I know you're cool.
Yeah, no, it's all good.
Love doing just, drugs at school.
Tasty.
What was that? Barbecue Cool Ranch?
You gotta pull the trigger. You gotta pull the trigger.
They're trying to get it out of their system now.
Oh, by doing what?
They can't feel him die. You gotta throw up. Just think of something gross.
Let's just finger each other's mouths.
No.
Yeah.
No, you're not fingering my mouth.
Do you want to die? Do you want to die?
Okay, fine.
Let's go. Come on. Come on. Come on.
This scene was tough to watch. Those are really good or realistic retching sounds.
It's pretty easy to do when you have someone's fingers down your throat.
Oh, okay. They weren't acting, you're saying.
There we go. So 21 Jump Street has been in the theaters for over a month now and should be considered a success.
All right.
With nearly $175 million worldwide profits. While critical and popular opinions have been positive, what do Jared and I think, Adam?
Yeah, Adam.
Nice. So let's talk about
shit.
It.
We're on different cameras. Oh, this is going to be a problem.
We are looking for a fourth Scope team member who will be in the Minneapolis area.
I thought that we were just going to do a hologram of Jared controlling the...
It's everything's about holograms in Coachella.
Yeah.
So, Jared, what did you think about the 21 Jump Street film? It was one of two movies we saw on the same day back-to-back.
What?
Pretty exciting. That was our double feature a few weeks back, Jared.
Yeah, mandate.
Carrie was there as well. So, what'd you think, Jared?
I thought it was good. You know, I didn't have... initially, I had no interest in seeing this film at all. I thought it looked stupid, and then...
Really? The trailers didn't do it for you?
I never actually watched the Red Band trailer that supposedly converted a lot of people.
Oh, okay.
But even prior to the trailers, when this, you're like, oh, I mean...
It just looked dumb.
Yeah, why do it, and then do it in a joke?
I thought it was dumb until I saw even the first normal trailer,
yeah.
and then I thought that was enough. Always the skeptic, Jared. Yeah.
So anyway, but then Jonah Hill was on Stern, and he was talking about how this was a passion project and how it was like super funny and all
he
that
wrote
stuff.
He wrote this along with Joe Kazam, or Kazam,
sure.
I don't know.
And that kind of really, really ignited the interest in seeing it for me. So, hey, I guess I went in with an open mind. I don't have any, real allegiance to the original show.
No.
I never watched it, other than maybe a couple of... bits here and there when I was channel surfing.
And it's not really...
back in the day when you had, six... You only had about six channels to watch.
You're turning the knob and clicking. It's not really connected to the original show in any meaningful way other than that basic fish out of water going back to high school type thing.
Yeah.
But, to me, it was more like Drew Barrymore's Never Been Kissed, when she went back...
Except that movie's creepy because her brother, played by
Arquette,
he... goes into the locker room and is on the baseball team.
I know,
with a bunch of underage kids.
I know, but I'm just saying that's more what it's like. It's like, you have these people that were in high school and they were losers or whatever, didn't quite fit in, and now they have to go back for whatever reason. Never Been Kissed. It was for undercover. For this, it was undercover cops, but try to maybe redo what you did wrong in a sense. That's kind of how I saw it, and I liked it. I thought it was really good.
Yeah. I mean, Channing Tatum, I had either no or negative opinion of him. Basically, my only experience with him had been the first G.I. Joe film.
And he was terrible in it.
He was terrible.
And the movie was
the
terrible.
The entire film was terrible. Yep. So he has actually really good comic timing.
He does. He's sort of like a blunt force comedian in the sense that he's like barrels through everything. Because that, I mean, maybe that's just his character,
yeah,
as well.
His character was like that.
But,
too,
but. Yeah, that's sort of his style. And Jonah Hill was, if you like Jonah Hill, I don't think you're going to be disappointed.
No.
If you don't like him, I still think he was pretty good in it.
What if you like fat Jonah Hill, but you don't like skinny Jonah Hill?
He's got a little punch.
Yeah,
he's not real thin.
It's not super skinny Jonah Hill. This is sort of mid-range Jonah Hill.
Okay.
Like I went on my diet, I took the weight off, and now I'm going to get back to a more manageable place where, you know, I can have a ding-dong every once in a while.
What?
A ding-dong. Ding-dong, okay. Man. Ding-dong.
And that's not a dick reference.
No, that is not a penile reference. That is a hostess snack cake reference.
Right. I have a penile reference to bring up later on. So okay. I will fill that quota. Don't worry.
Very
don't
good.
Worry.
Can you say I'll fill that hole instead?
Fill that hole, Jared.
Fill that hole. I don't want to spend too much time on this. We have a lot of movies to get to, but I thought I was really surprised at the quality of it.
Good cameos. An Ice Cube was hilarious. He might have been my favorite guy in the movie. He was really solid, and that clip is a pretty good indication of what you're going to get.
So worth your time.
Worth your time.
Best since Friday? Best Ice Cube performance since Friday?
Oh, definitely.
Next Friday, probably.
Never seen it.
What?
The Friday after that.
I think the next show, we have to just all watch Friday live.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Okay, let's do it. I love it. I love everything we're doing here.
Should we score this?
Let's give it a score.
The Scoop score is 3 stars.
Adam, why don't you read one of your movies next?
All right.
I got the Hunger Games covered.
Jared, is there a preference from which one I should do based on your clips?
I have everything pulled up here, so I can do whatever.
Why don't I do God Bless America, because it's the first one on my list. So God Bless America came out last year. It's Bob Goldthwait now.
He's not a cat anymore.
Yeah.
He's out of the feline group.
But the former Bobcat Goldthwait, who's actually been a writer and director for the last 5 or 6 years. He did World's Greatest Dad a few years ago, which was a critically acclaimed indie movie. And there's been a couple others. He's in Minneapolis in June, if anyone's interested in seeing him at the Fitzgerald Theater.
As a stand-up?
Nope, it's part of Wits, so it'll just be an interview, kind of game show-y.
Hear him in his regular voice, that kind of thing?
Yes, he doesn't do the Bobcat voice anymore, as far as I know.
When he was on Nerdist podcast, he tried to do it and he couldn't.
Can't
do it
anymore,
well.
Yeah. So the movie's a black comedy slash political satire, and it's all about, you know what, actually the trailer, I just took clips from trailers, so I didn't do the extensive work that Shane did.
You let me down.
Dick. So why don't we just play the trailer first, then we can go from there.
Okay.
A tumor this size is very dangerous. Do you have any family? Oh, gotta take this.
My name is Chloe. I live in Virginia Beach, and everyone loves me because I'm so pretty.
I wanted an Escalade! This is the biggest day of my life, and you're f***ing up, Dad!
Don't move and don't make a sound.
If you want the car, just take it. My parents got me the wrong one anyways.
Yeah, that's a fucking tragedy.
Did you just kill Chloe? Awesome. That was a fantastic start, but you know who else really riffs my cock off?
The Kardashians.
People who use rock star as an adjective.
Women who call their tits the girls.
Anyone who wears crystals.
That would have been longer if I had known that, cheating.
I'll fill you in on how you can do it. It's not hard. I mean, if I can do it, I guarantee that you can do it.
So it's kind of a
what
weird...
What do you use, Cupid?
Something like that,
All right.
It's a weird take on Bonnie and Clyde with Frank, who you heard in the trailer there. He learns he has a brain tumor and kind of goes off across the country just getting mad at stuff. And
when do Mahoney and Hightower show up?
They're actually in it the entire time.
Michael Winslow doing sound effects. That's who did all the sound effects for the trailer, by the way.
He just does everything for everything.
I love it.
Yeah. He does everyone's voices. He's the only actual actor in Hollywood. People don't really know that.
It's amazing.
So, and the girl's voice that you heard say awesome and talk about ladies calling their boobs the girls. She's the Bonnie in this. She's a 16-year-old girl that is just as kind of not into modern America as Frank is. So they kind of take off across country and it kind of all culminates in a scene at fake version of American Idol. I know I'm the only one here that's seen it. I definitely like the concept of the movie and it's the point it's trying to get across, that people just aren't decent anymore. And there's a really good line. I think it's even in the trailer where Frank says, like, what's the point of having a civilization if people aren't civil to each other anymore? And I feel that way a lot. But satires are usually supposed to have some level of subtlety in them, or at least I prefer when they do. And as you can tell from the trailer, this movie doesn't.
No.
I get it from, like, a point of catharsis, you know? Like, the first death in the movie, it's a dream sequence, but I'll just spoil this, is Frank shooting a baby.
So right. That's very, very subtle. A deft hand right. to handle that right. one.
I mean, it's a dream, and it's obviously a dream, and he hates this family for good reason. But, I mean, like, that, if that's how the movie's starting off, you kind of see where it's going from there. So I had a lot of issues with the movie just because it wasn't really enjoyable to watch. Not like from a, like, oh, I can't watch the scene because I don't care, whatever. Just from, I feel like it could have been better. And so I felt like it was kind of a missed opportunity because I like the message of, people are dicks. So
in typical Adam,
something we can all get behind.
In typical Adam fashion, I'm not sure his score actually reflects his commentary.
Yeah, that is a good point. I don't know. Numbers,
that's all right.
What do numbers really mean? That's,
yeah, we're such a numbers-driven society. Everything's numbers.
So yeah, I don't know if you guys have any questions.
No. not a one, please.
No. You guys are gonna go see it? You excited? It's available on demand.
Do I have to pay for it?
I mean, I don't know how on demand works.
Okay. Did I just yell out my window? Show me the movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
I'll give it a score.
The Soap score is 2.5 stars.
I feel like that matches what I was saying.
All right, I guess. Just slightly above average.
Slightly above average. Well, let's continue in our movie cavalcade review system. We've got, 18 movies left, so buckle up, folks.
So far, you've called it a cavalcade, a stampede. They've all been Western-themed.
Thesaurus. My ye old thesaurus, not ye old. My town of country thesaurus. Our next film is The Hunger Games. For those of you that don't know, The Hunger Games movie is based off of a novel by Suzanne Collins. This is sort of the new Harry Potter, except a lot darker. You know, it's all the kids love it. A teenage epic science fiction.
Vampires?
Drama.
Dystopian future.
Dystopian future. It's got all that goods.
Yep.
So what's it about exactly, if you don't know? Every year, in the ruins of what was once North America, the evil capital of the nation, Pan Am, forces each of its 12 districts to send a teenage boy and girl to compete in the Hunger Games. It's a twisted punishment for a past uprising and an ongoing government intimidation tactic. The Hunger Games are a nationally televised event in which tributes must fight with one another until only one survivor remains. Pitted against highly trained tributes who have prepared for these games for their entire lives, Katniss, played by X-Men First Class's Jennifer Lawrence, is forced to reply.
I prefer to refer to her as Winter's Bone.
Yes, Winter's Bone. Jennifer Lawrence. That's just a little sexy. She's forced to rely upon her sharp instincts as well as the mentorship of a drunken former victor, Haymitch Abernathy, played by Woody Harrelson. If she's ever to return home to District 12, Katniss must make impossible choices in the arena that weigh survival against humanity and life against love. In our first clip, Katniss has been given the title of tribute and will soon be off to the capital to fight for her life. But before that happens, she talks to Gale, her hunting partner, and possibly something more. Take a listen.
I'm fine.
You're not
her. I am.
Listen to me. You're stronger than they are. You are. Get to a bow.
They may not have...
Well, if you show them how good you are. They just want a good show. That's all they want. If they don't have a bow, then you make one, okay? You know how to hunt.
There's 24 of us, Gale. Only one comes out.
Yeah. And it's gonna be you. Okay.
Take care of them, Gale. Whatever you do, don't let them starve.
Let's go. I'll see you soon, okay?
Our second clip finds Katniss talking to her empathetic Hunger Games stylist, Cinna, played by Lenny Kravitz. In a weird casting choice, but very effective. I mean, just strange that he's not really an actor that you see all the time.
He's in Precious. Come on.
Because in true reality show form, how you are presented before the contest is just as important as what you do in the battlefield. Clip 2.
My name's Cinna.
Katniss.
I'm sorry that this happened to you. I'm here to help you in any way that I can.
Most people just congratulate me.
Well, I don't see the point in that.
So tonight, they have the tribute parade. I take you out and show you off to the world.
So you're here to make me look pretty? I'm
here to help you make an impression. Now, usually they dress people in the clothes from their district.
Yeah, but I was coal miners.
Yeah, but I don't want to do that. I want to do something that they're going to remember. Did they explain about trying to get sponsors?
Yeah, but I'm not very good at making friends.
We'll see.
So The Hunger Games has been a worldwide smash, earning almost $550 million so far. And for the record, the sequel is planned to be released in November of 2013. A lot of drama with that because the director of the first one was going to do the sequel, but with the time frame and all sorts of things, he's just not going to happen. So,
I think it was money.
Was it money?
I'm pretty sure it was money. He wanted a pretty big raise, and
well, it's
deservedly so.
It's a tight schedule as well, so I'm sure that, you know, if you're not going to get paid, why put yourself through the crap, right?
Yeah.
So there we go. Hunger Games in theaters now. I think we've all seen it. Jared, hit camera two, and then you can tell us about what you think about this film.
Well, you're directing now.
Yeah, I mean, I had been sort of aware of the books existing. I never had any interest in reading them necessarily because they always, you know, were sort of accompanying with the phrase, teenage girls love these things.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, ah, what the hell?
Would tied I into Twilight, in you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like that sort of thing.
So similar to that. And so I didn't really follow the development of the film until maybe, you know, a month or so before it was going to be released, and Entertainment Weekly started doing, you know, all of its coverage in the magazine. I really got interested in when I read the article. I'm like, wow, this sounds like an interesting world and some interesting characters. I want to see that movie. And so we did.
The end.
The end. And overall, I thought it was a really well done movie. I didn't, you know, it was like well over 2 hours. I didn't feel like it was that super long. And I know I like world building. I like it when they take the time to kind of, you know, really showcase this different take on where things have progressed in North America. They did some of that. They didn't get to spend a lot of time on it, which was sort of disappointing. But once you read the books, which I've done since, you realize that a lot of, you know, the book is entirely inside Katniss's head. So
yeah.
You really only see what she sees. So
that's the biggest change. You know, the book is all first person.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you're not witnessing any sort of conversation between two people. In that book, if Katniss isn't watching it happen. In the movie, that's not the case. I mean, you have things that are happening that I'm sure happened in the book. She just didn't know it was happening.
Sure.
So you're getting more insight into why things are happening.
And a lot of it is the is when dealing with the like the game makers.
The game maker and the president.
And controlling what happens in the arena. You don't see any of that in the book. You see it in the movie, though.
And she sort of makes assumptions, like, hey, they're doing this to get me.
Yeah.
And in the movie, they show, hey, we're doing this to get her.
Right. I honestly look at them as, boy, I switched away from me and I started talking. not doing this well. I think they're good companion pieces.
Yeah,
I think you get a very different perspective on Katniss's actions and motivations in the book, and she's very aware of how she's being manipulated and how she can kind of benefit from that. She's very aware of the timing of, say, the sponsor gifts that are delivered.
Sure,
and whether she gets one or doesn't get one, she knows that she's getting some sort of coaching or
help,
information from Haymitch, the mentor. Which is, you don't necessarily see that in the film. You get that in the book a lot. So
it's almost like an episode of Lost or something where you're seeing something from a different side. Like, oh, we're doing this. And then three episodes later, they show that same time period from another person on a different part of the island.
Absolutely.
It's similar to that.
I would agree.
Adam, you saw this film.
I did.
Speak up.
It was a movie.
It was
a movie. It was fine.
Debbie Downer. Dragon
score down.
Adam, is it four stars?
What?
I did this the wrong way because I read the books, you know, the 2 days leading up to watching the movie.
Have you read all three of them, by the way?
No, I just read the first one. Jared, you said, did you read all of them? Or just
I'm halfway through the third one.
Okay.
And I'm halfway through the second.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, we bought all three of them. I don't know. Why? But
because you can't get them from the library right now because they're literally
checked out for 18 years.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I won't read the second one until again 2 days before before the next movie.
Easy. I didn't waste any time.
Yeah,
I'm in school. I've got enough stuff to.
You're in school. That's a whole episode.
Great. World of Warcraft and college. Just let's do an all Adam episode.
I didn't know you were going to college.
A very special episode.
All right. Pencil and chain.
So
there we go.
So yeah, I would say don't do that. I liked the book. It avoided the trap of Harry Potter, where you have a teenage protagonist who is completely self-involved. I always got annoyed with Harry Potter because I always felt like there were just times where the character didn't really act like what, you know, the rest of the books would make him out to be. And people would be like, oh, he's a teenager, he's got angst. And it's like, you can't explain away why he's doing these things because of that.
Like, the whole world revolves around him. With Katniss, it's about survival.
Yes.
I mean, it's sort of survival and keeping people around her that she loves.
Right. And
alive.
It's more
base. Yes. Like a base survival instinct. Or yeah.
And I didn't... I found her to be a good character in the movie and in the book. So that was good. And I definitely like the actress from the three movies now that I've seen her in.
J-Lo. J-Lar.
Yes. Exactly.
Her winter's bone. You like to give her your winter's bone?
Wow. It's offensive.
Come on, Shane. We're live.
I'm doing it all for the webcam.
We're live.
Hey, winter's bone.
But yeah, I found some of the corniness of the movie that's not there. It's not present in the books because, you know, it's all from her perspective.
Example. So, give us an example of the so-called corniness.
The broadcasters, you know. So
okay, sure, yeah. Sure.
Just that.
Just the broadcasters.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the primary example that I can think of.
I think it was a logical extension of how things were, you know, how people lived and what they expected from the games and the, you know. I mean, it's really much, it's very much a kind of a critique on our reality television-obsessed culture today. Mm-hmm. And how this would have logically progressed into
Jeff
the future.
Jeff Probst would never look like that.
And you'd sort of tie that in with like the foo-foo-ness of Europe in the, you know, 1700s and, you know, French Revolution, that sort of thing. I mean, it's all kind of this picture of elite versus people that are put down.
Do you guys think that the world became like this because of Obama?
Of course I do.
I mean, do you think that's the message of the movie?
I think it is. Oh, yeah. It's anti-Obama. Pro-Tom Cruise.
Bringing some Cruise.
I like it. Cruise in.
Cruise.
Okay. I'm glad we're on the same page on that, at least.
Good.
If not the score, then the anti-Obama nature of the movie.
So the one thing in this movie that we have not talked about, which...
Titties.
Yeah. Are we talking about the love triangle?
Yeah, which didn't sit as well with me before I read the book, and especially as I get into the second book, is the love triangle, which Jared talked a lot about how he liked the world building and how you're existing in this dystopian, spazoid, terrible place. But you've got this issue of Katniss having this guy back at home, Gale, who we mentioned, and then she's...
Team Gale.
And then she has to go with another male from her district to fight in the Hunger Games, and his name is it Petra?
Peeta.
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 You read the books.
You've seen it in print.
Yeah, I just like you guys to correct me. And he, we find out, has loved her since forever.
Well, maybe, probably.
It, you know, so you've got this artificial thing where, you know, to survive, she, Katniss, and this young, quiet gentleman, Peeta. Have to bond together to live, essentially. And it sort of goes through this rigmarole, and she's thinking about Gale the whole time. It didn't play as nicely in the movie as it did the book, even though I'll have to say in the first book, it seemed a little unnecessary. Not unnecessary, it just didn't feel right. It feels better in the second one to me.
It's not necessarily a love triangle, like she's like in love with both of these. She sees this, I mean, so they're portrayed as these star-crossed lovers from District 12. That is the persona that they have been sort of given. And they sort of develop
to get sponsors
for this TV show.
And
I mean,
to live.
It's all about manipulation, and she immediately sees that she needs to play this role of being in love with him in order to survive, and you get a much better picture of that in the book.
Yeah,
and she does have some sort of confusion because occasionally, you know, she isn't sure if she's actually feeling something or if she's just going along with it. But, you know, she's a teenage girl, too. This stuff is probably what teenage girls go through, I'm assuming. So I don't.
I've had no interaction with teenage girls in my life. So.
I'm not as
when I was a teenager or otherwise. Sorry, yeah. Interrupting.
I'm not as skeptical of it as you seem to be. Okay. I think it plays out pretty naturally so far in the books. And
yes, yeah, Shane.
Well, I guess we can agree for you to not be right.
Okay, fair enough.
No, just kidding.
But there is a fundamental problem with this love triangle, and I'm going to go into that real briefly.
Hit it.
There is this thing we do, celebrity couple names, right? You take like part of a male name, part of the female name, and you put them together. Obviously, the author was not thinking of this when she wrote it, because if you build these couple names, you come up with two not very good options.
Oh, here we go.
If you're a fan of PETA, you get penis as your celebrity couple name.
Well, or Peteness.
Or I guess you could go Peteness. That's probably safer, but penis is funnier.
Yes.
And if you're a fan of Gale, you get gayness. There's no winning. So terrible naming,
well,
Suzanne Collins.
Wait. No, because Brangelina. It's okay. It is.
We don't need to spend more time.
The guy
this.
First.
I would like some celebrity couple names for your Scope hosting team. So listeners out there, viewers, if you got some for us, please be sure to hit it up.
Hit it, Jershandom.
Perfect. Done. Okay. Don't do anything. Adam's got it covered. The only other thing I want to say about this movie is that I actually thought
about it. Give it a score!
I thought about it a lot afterwards, and I think that is a sign of something that
is
compelling.
About? The movie specifically?
Yeah, just like the story and like this world that they're living in and just how soul-crushing it could be.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, you've got this whole other capital city, which is the pinnacle of decadence and perfect living and how there's just such a terrible contrast between the two places. I thought it was fascinating, and it works well. It's a place that I wanted to revisit in the next book right away. So,
well, wait a minute.
Not in a positive way. I don't want to be there, but I just like what she's...
I mean, you understand, though, we don't get a view of anything except districts 11 and 12, right? Or 9 and 12.
8.
Or 8 and
12. 12.
Okay, whatever.
No, 11, and you're talking about in the movie, we only get 11 and 12, pretty much, yeah.
You could say that about America right now. You could say that there are areas of West Virginia that are just like that, and then there is Beverly Hills, California.
Now you are onto something, Adam. You are onto something.
I just got it.
Social
I commentary. Just got it, guys.
Social he is dialed in.
Commentary.
He's dialed in.
That's, yeah, I thought about it enough that I was compelled to pretty much start right away reading the books, and I, you know, like I said, I'm halfway through the third book, and
did you think about
it?
Did you think about it pantless like I did?
I would read in bed, so probably.
Yeah. There we go. So, I think it brings out the sameness in all of us. Let's give it a score.
The Scope score is 2.75 stars.
There we are. Adam, next movie.
Oh. Jeff, Who Lives at Home. This is a movie, it's an indie comedy starring Jason Segel from How I Met Your Mother, The Muppets. His penis from Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Do you see his ding-a-ling in this one?
Not in this one.
Oh.
I wish.
No, then I'm not seeing it. I'm out. 1.5 star.
And Ed Helms from... it's weird.
The Office.
The Office.
Daily Show.
Hangover.
Right. I wasn't stopping
one,
there.
Hangover 2. Are you watching us?
No, I don't know. I don't know what's happening there.
I don't know what. This is very strange.
I don't think it's updating. I have Sprint. It's really slow.
Look at here. So we're in it, Jared. We're on.
I'm monitoring it in my browser, and it's delayed, but it seems to be working.
Okay.
There, Adam is checking his phone right now in the live stream.
And in this one, I'm actually looking at my iPad. Very strange.
Now I can hear something. This is bizarre. Is that what I sound like?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Okay. You've never listened to the show, huh?
Oh, I should probably mute this, huh? I thought that was Jared fucking around. Okay.
What?
Sorry about that.
We've got 5 minutes to get
the movie is directed. Hey, you know what?
Movies.
Our A block was really short. The movie's directed by Jay and Mark Duplass.
Should we know them?
Well, Cyrus was from 2 years ago with
Jonah
21
Hill.
Jump Street's Jonah Hill. Mark Duplass is on The League. He's the one of the guys on The League. If you watch The League,
I don't watch The League.
It's a good show.
Is it on after 2.5 Men?
The
by Tom Cruise
movie also stars Susan Sarandon and Judy Greer, everyone's favorite.
I love Judy Greer.
Yes, I love
She's
Judy
awesome.
Greer too.
She's a good one.
Boobs,
she's a good egg.
Boobs always being shown, but blurred on Arrested Development. Mm. The movie's about two brothers, Jeff and Pat.
One of them lives.
What?
One of them lives.
Lives what? Home. Oh, Jeff lives. Yeah. Okay. The former is a 30-year-old still living in his parents' basement, while the latter struggles with a failed marriage. And it's one of those it's one of these comedies where it's not telling any sort of big story. It's one day, and it's just the lives of these
a day
people.
In the life, if you would.
Yes.
Okay.
And so I pulled a clip from the trailer that kind of just
oh great background music, Jared. Probably a Wilhelm scream on it.
Wilhelm.
Uh-huh.
This is from the man who speaks German.
Right. So I really like this movie. The near the end of the trailer, there's like a part that like I think it's the music. Like I almost always get choked up every time. Why don't we play?
So let's get that camera right into the space here. Let's see if we can get some
zoom
tears.
In right to
I
here.
I have no pan and zoom controls.
Why don't you just go in there and talk to her?
Oh my God, you have no idea how adult relationships work, do you? I need to find out exactly what's going on, so I'll have the upper hand later.
Something really big is happening here.
My wife is having an affair!
We don't know that yet. Let's follow this and see where it leads.
I'm gonna break down the door.
That's a terrible idea. I've seen you try to do things physically.
Oh!
I hate my kids right now. I don't know when that happened. They were so cute.
I've been having this really weird dream about Dad lately. He says, Pat, what's the greatest day in the history of the world? And I'm like, Dad, I don't know. And he just looks at me and he smiles.
He says today.
It's today.
It's today.
Today's the best day.
So, like I said, it's not a comedy that's telling a story. It's just a day, with these five people. And it's great. I really, really like this movie. Mandy and I saw it about, I don't know, 3 weeks ago.
So you're giving it 2 stars.
1.25 stars. I don't know. There's not much to say about it other than,
except go see it.
Good characters, right?
Yeah. And there wasn't a moment that I was like, I would change anything with this movie. I also just love Jason Segel.
I expect a perfect score,
yeah,
Jared.
Absolutely.
Let's see what Adam gives us.
The Soap score is 3.5 stars.
So that's nothing, perfect for me.
There's he would change, Jared.
So you're admitting that there's nothing you would change, yet this film does not even have the potential to reach perfection.
There's no tits in this movie, okay. So yes.
So exactly you would change that.
So you're deducting a 0.5 star for tits.
I'm not.
What if there was one tit? Would it be a 3.5?
No, one tit is worse than two.
Wow.
Or no, sorry, one tit is worse than zero.
Is it? Because that's
it's a tease.
You're like, oh, hey, just one.
What about?
Well, now I'm disappointed.
Almost all boob, no nip.
That's fine. If it's tasteful side cleavage, then I'm fine with it.
Speaking of tasteful side cleavage, you should check out The Fump this Tuesday for a brand new song from Possible Oscar.
Oh, really? That's like, I like your little.
It dovetails right into that.
Okay. DuckTales.
Yes, it DuckTales.
Jared. Yeah. The last movie that you and I are going to be covering today is American Reunion.
Do you want to save that? Do you want me to get into my other film that none of you guys have seen real quick?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that one.
I don't really have much to go on.
Just go quick on it.
I saw the movie Lockout. This was a free pass thing.
Sylvester Stallone.
Throw me up here. No, this is a
90s movie.
Guy Pierce. I believe that man may have been locked down.
Guy Pierce possibly signed to be in the next Iron Man movie.
Yes, potentially. Basically, this has been called Escape from New York in Space, or Escape from L.A. in Space, if you want to be real pedantic about it.
Sounds really cool.
And your
cool
name
right
is Earl.
Now.
you get the premise, though. Some guy who is...
badass?
He's in trouble with the law, whatever. He's going to get imprisoned himself. They strike a deal. You go into this prison, and you save a person of note, and we will...
get him out.
Commute your sentence, whatever. So Guy Pierce is like a CIA agent who has been framed for someone's murder or whatever. And so he's the one who's in trouble. The president's daughter is visiting this space prison.
Space prison.
And of course, terrible things happen. She gets captured by the inmates who are normally cryogenically frozen, but have since been released.
Would you say the inmates are running the asylum?
They are. Absolutely are, Adam. So Guy Pierce, his character's name is Snow. He gets sent in to rescue the princess, and he also has other things he needs to accomplish.
Wait. His first
the
name
princess.
Is
sorry, the not princess. The princess.
His first name is
might as well be the princess.
His first name is Snow.
His name is Snow.
Does he have a last name?
It is unspecified.
Okay, because it's probably something that's close
Storm.
To Bliskin, right? It's like
actually, it might be his last name. Actually, might be Snow in his first name. I think I mentioned it at the end. Doesn't matter. He's referred to as
Snow Blaskin. Is his name.
Snow Blaskin. Exactly. So Snow Blaskin goes into space, and of course. Saves the day, blah blah blah. There isn't much of notes. There's a lot of there's some fun moments with the inmates, but they're kind of, you know, your typical caricatures. There's a lot of tattoos and piercings. They obviously have their own agenda they're trying to accomplish. And the best part of the film is the dialogue given to Snow. He's got a lot of great one-liners. He's very quippy, very fast, almost Sorkin-esque in some of his delivery.
I would say Scope-esque.
Scope-esque, perfect, yes. I was entertained by that alone, but really the rest of it was subpar sci-fi action film. So.
Was the movie told in reverse chronological order, as
nope.
dictated by every Guy Pearce contract
Wait,
of science?
What other...
Right, because in L.A. Confidential it was...
Yeah. Memento? Oh, it was backwards.
Was it?
Yeah. Everything was back. You're not watching it, right?
The Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Backwards.
Movie
yeah. Like, why are they escaping from that place? Oh, here. This is how it goes.
And then Joey Pants shows up all of a sudden mm-hmm. in all of his movies.
Joey Pants. Pantalones.
Right. Do you want to spend more time on this?
Oh, yes, I do. All day long. Snow Blaskin.
I'll give it a score.
The Snoop score is 1.5 star.
Below average, but I think it's the dialogue alone was for Snow was worth 1.5 stars.
Fair enough. Adam, we're going to go to you because I've decided I have better clips.
Okay.
We're going to end it with a bang.
Excellent. So the last movie that I saw that you guys did not see, but I think you both... Nazi.
always Hitler mustaches.
That you both want to
I
see.
I definitely do.
Is The Cabin in the Woods.
What's it about?
The Cabin in the Woods is a 2012 horror comedy film co-written and directed by Drew Goddard, Cloverfield director.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh, it's got to be bad.
And I liked Cloverfield a lot. And co-written and produced by Joss Whedon. You know, Joss Whedon.
The Joss Whedon?
The Joss Whedon. The Whedonverse. Right?
That's the thing. He's got a verse, Jared.
The Buffyverse. It stars a bunch of people you haven't heard of, and that's fine. It's a horror
One of
movie.
Them you have.
But, no, two you have. Oh. Richard Jenkins from 6 Feet Under. And
who's that?
He's the dad from 6 Feet Under. He dies in the first episode.
Oh, yeah.
Never heard of it.
If you saw a picture of him, you'd know who he is. Okay.
And Bradley Whitford from such classics as The West Wing and Billy
There's
Madison.
One other person you're missing.
Chris
Hemsworth.
Sort of important.
Thor.
Sort of important.
Kind Thor, of, for Christ's
sort
sake.
Of,
I don't think he's important.
Sort of led to him getting the job in Thor.
Yeah, let's...
Go figure.
Let's do some research.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Let's play that trailer.
What? There's also the guy who played Topher on Dollhouse. But nobody watched that show but me, so there you go.
Not the guy from that 70s show?
No.
Topher Grace?
Topher Grace.
No.
No. So this is a really hard movie. I don't want to spoil anything. Let's listen to the clip from the trailer, because I actually found it was a good, safe...
Good save.
Yeah.
Okay. Should I play right now?
Sure.
Okay. Your choice. Whatever.
Webcam. Dealer, on two. One choice. And two. Go.
The lambs have come to the killing floor.
Something weird is going on.
That would be Topher.
What is that thing? Someone sent those things here to get us.
We gotta get out of here.
Oh my God. What is this place?
Cabin in the woods.
That's the place.
I think I can get it to go down. Do we want to go down?
That reminds me of many Transformers clips I've pulled over the years.
I know.
That's the old school Shane Palmer show.
I went through, like, they only have, like, two official trailers, so I started, like, just going to random YouTube clips. No, nothing. So it's a horror movie, but you find out pretty early that things are not as it would seem to be. So, Shane, you said that maybe a trailer you saw made that
Yeah, they've given away the basic premise.
Okay.
Which is what?
I want you to tell me, because
the basic premise is...
I don't want no spoilers!
No, we've seen the same thing. So these kids go off to a cabin in the woods, and we find out that the cabin is
The titular cabin in the woods.
Yes. It's actually like a big setup where people are trying to kill them, essentially, right? In a funhousey sort of way. That's all I know.
Okay, and it's way more involved than that.
Okay,
so I don't want to get more into it. But yes, there's it's not. It is not like a, you know, Freddy or Jason. You know, it's nothing like that. And I'd say if you're going looking for just a horror movie, you're going to be disappointed.
Earl.
Oh, was Earl disappointed?
I don't know. I just to throw him. Earl likes his horror movies,
I guess.
Okay, so
I'm not a big horror movie fan, so I'm excited that this is different.
Right.
And any musical numbers? That's what I want to know. Do they actually get in typical Joss Whedon?
Right.
Do they break into song at some point?
There's only two or three, okay. So it's not too bad.
I will stab at you if I don't get what I want.
So I didn't know anything about it. I got off of work a day early a few hours early on Wednesday, and I was just looking for something to do when I was in Ohio. So I read a review, like half of one, and they were like, it's like kind of a smart horror movie that's not really a horror movie. And I was like, I don't know what that means, but sure.
You saw it by yourself?
Yes. I was the only person in the theater. Like,
was that creepy?
It was a huge theater. It wasn't scary. It's not a scary movie. Like, it doesn't even really have jump scares. There's a couple, but... Yeah. So, no. But I get scared at, like, you know, like, actual scary movies. So not this one. But it was one of the... Like, it wasn't like... It's the last week. This is going to be run, so there's 100 seats. It was a 500 seat theater, and I was the only person.
You just saw it at an odd time and an odd day.
It was 2 or 3 in the afternoon. Yeah.
So a lot of masturbation took place in that theater.
I thought about it constantly.
Okay.
That's why you bought the large popcorn, right? Just cut a hole in the bottom, and then you got a little privacy.
Greased it up,
and you butter the corn at the same time.
His penis just looked like a dog that had an operation.
You guys have been to enough movies with me to know.
I think I've been to zero movies with you. Oh wait, I saw Transformers. I think it's the only movie I've been
to. More than meets his cock.
So I liked it, and
that's it.
It's a weird movie, and it kind of keeps you guessing, even as you kind of early on you learn what's going on, but you still kind of keep guessing.
So you say there's a lot of twists and turns?
I wouldn't say there's a lot of twists and turns.
Pratfalls?
I don't think it's like an M. Night Shyamalan movie where you're like, all right, well, what's the thing?
What about that twist?
It doesn't rely on
water those. Kills them all.
Yeah. And
throw water on them.
Happiness.
And happiness.
And music.
So give it a score.
Yeah, okay.
The soap score is 3.25 stars.
That's a good score.
I would
anything they could do better on that one?
Boobs. Again, it's a horror movie with no boobs. Come on.
No, that's disappointing. That was a big spoiler alert.
That's actually the big twist on it. That it's a horror movie with no boobs.
I'm out then, Jared.
I hear you.
Here's one movie that we went to see. The last movie we'll be reviewing today, American Reunion. It's the fourth theatrical film in the American Pie series, but I think it's like the eighth American Pie overall. They did a lot of made-for...
Yeah, it's Eugene Levy, I think, was in all of them.
Yeah, he was,
right?
And he doesn't... Yeah, they don't really count the other ones, or they...
They're not canon?
They're not canon, not American Pie canon.
It's the expanded universe, like with Star Wars?
Exactly. They don't get the okay from the major player. This picture, just released April 5th, reunites the entire original cast in hopes of recapturing the raunchy teen comedy magic. So what is this film about? So it was the summer of 1999 when four small-town Michigan boys begin a quest to lose their virginity. Kind of like us, except Minnesota, one less boy.
I'd forgotten about that.
In the years that passed, Jim and Michelle married while Kevin and Vicky said goodbye. Oz and Heather grew apart, but Finch still longs for Stifler's mom. Now over a decade has passed, and the gang returns to East Great Falls, Michigan. They will discover how their lives developed as they gather for their 13-year high school reunion. I can't even say that with a straight face, and how they dealt with it in there. How has life treated Michelle, Jim, Heather, Oz, Kevin, Vicky, Finch, Stifler, and Stifler's mom? In our first clip, Jim, played again by Jason Biggs, tries to give his dad, Eugene Levy, and his monster eyebrows... I riff that one.
Nice.
He wants to give him some love advice in a very American Pie deja vu type of moment.
Do you think maybe it's time for you to meet someone else? Dad, it's okay. What you're going through is perfectly natural. You know, there are services out there.
Services?
Yeah.
Like what? A happy ending?
What's that?
Because I won't go there.
Oh, my God.
I don't need that. I don't need that kind of massage.
That's not what I was...
Jim,
why do you even know about that?
It's dangerous.
Yeah.
And you can pick things up. Mm-hmm. You don't even want to know what you can pick up. Talk to your Uncle Mort.
I'd rather not.
He was in the hospital
for
2 weeks.
That's disgusting.
Oof. And in our second clip, Oz, Heather, her new boyfriend, and Stifler meet on the beach a couple days before the high school reunion.
Heather.
Chris.
Hey.
What are you doing here?
I guess we had the same idea, huh?
Chris, this is Ron, my boyfriend.
Oh, no.
Chris Ostreicher, Ron Douglas. It's a pleasure to meet you.
How do you do?
Ron's a cardiologist at my hospital.
A cardiologist?
Wow.
Yeah, and hey, listen, my friends call me Dr. Ron, D-Ron, or just Dron, so you feel free.
Okay.
Choir chick!
Nice to see you too, Stifler.
Who's this douche?
I'm her boyfriend.
So, you two are banging, and you two used to bang. This must be awkward for all of you.
So American Reunion.
Good job, Stifler.
American Reunion has been a moderate hit, Jared.
Has it?
Yes.
Ooh. Okay.
I just got rid of my script. It easily made back its $50 million budget. They paid $50 million for this movie.
But, so many big stars in it.
But critical response has been mixed at best.
That Chris Klein money alone.
Yeah. Rotten Tomatoes gave the film, I thought this was a really great quote to explain the movie. Rotten Tomatoes gave this film a score of 42% based on 134 reviews, with the consensus being it'll provide sweet, nostalgic comfort food for fans of the franchise, but American Reunion fails to do anything truly new or interesting or even very funny with the characters.
You're glib.
So what did you think, Jared? Does that sum it up for you?
I went into this movie as a completist. I disregard the direct to video stuff.
Completely. You wanted to get all the achievements.
American Pie, Summer Camp, or
but
whatever
I've
it
seen,
was.
But I saw the other three theatrical releases. I felt like I was obligated to see this one, and I was kind of excited to kind of revisit this and see, does it hold up? Is it going to be interesting to me? And you know what? I ended up being pretty disappointed. Most of the actors are terrible.
Yeah,
and maybe they always were, and I just overlooked it. But
no growth from 1999 or 1998. I mean, it's about the same note on everyone.
Yeah, pretty much. And there were a few genuine good jokes. Most of them, Stifler was the originator on those things. I mean, he's playing the Stifler character. But, you know, for whatever reason, it's fun. And maybe it's the contrast between his antics and the other characters is maybe so great that his stuff just seems that much more funny.
Has more punch to
maybe
it.
Maybe it's not really that funny. I don't know. But, you know, when they tried to shoehorn kind of the personal growth storylines in there, that's when the movie really, really dragged. And it wasn't well executed. They tried way too much to try to bring every single character in. You know, and to the point where some of the characters who were pretty big in the original film had one scene.
Yeah.
And a few lines. And
a couple lines, even.
That was it. And then they're gone. And it's like, well, why did you even bother?
Yeah.
Just to have a cameo, I guess. But so, I mean, a few fun jokes, but it was overly long and tried overly sentimental and really just did a really, really poor job of trying to show how these characters have grown since the 13 years. Apparently they skipped their 10-year. I couldn't get it done.
That's what they said, Adam. So they were too lazy to do a 10-year, so we're 3 years late.
So really, overall, a big disappointment.
Yeah. My thing with this film is that I wanted to like this a lot. There was like Jared said, there was this nostalgic possibility there that could have been.
But why? I mean, you guys saw 2 and 3.
Yeah, maybe it's been a long time since we've seen 3, so maybe we've forgotten. What I was hoping from this movie was a smartly written film that dealt with these sex-crazed guys and what their actual growth would be. You know, like, you can kind of contrast that.
They all have STDs.
Yeah, but instead, that was, like Jared said, it was just sort of shoehorned in there. It was not natural. And then they're doing these same things, whether it's taking a dump in a beer cooler or, you know, trying to tote around a drunken girl that would be hitting on Jim for no reason whatsoever, who's 18. Just a lot of cliched things that maybe would have been funny in 1999. Now it seems sort of strange and weird and awkward. These guys are, you know, I don't even know how old they would be 13 years later. So they're going on 30.
30, 31.
It didn't feel right. And like you said with Stifler, he was the only character that didn't feel cookie-cutter, cut out. Like, everyone else was one-note monotone with nothing to the table. The stuff that they were given to act with, the script was boring. So you have Stifler who just sort of peaks it and pops a little bit. And they tried to, like, show growth with him. Like, he was a guy that was perpetually stuck at the age of 18, and he sort of realized through the arc of his story that you can't necessarily do that.
Yeah, definitely.
And where the other characters talk about how much they've grown, but in the movie they don't act like anything except what they had in all the other movies. So it didn't really feel natural. It just felt boring. I probably laughed twice through the entire thing, and I wanted to laugh. I'm sitting there going, should I be laughing at this? I want to, but no, it's not funny. Nor is it fun.
Did they play any Don Henley?
No Don Henley. You know, even Eugene Levy, whose character was always the standout, you know, he brought a little bit of heart to the proceedings. They didn't give him anything good to do. It was just very much the same old, same old. No growth. After 13 years, you'd think that they could show a different side of these characters. But they did not. And that was a disappointment at the end of the day.
Agreed.
Give it a score.
Okay, let's see. Where's that button? There it is.
The Soap score is 1.25 star.
So not very well reviewed by us or Rotten Tomatoes or anyone out there. So probably avoid that one.
Okay, I will. Thank you for that.
Or catch it on Netflix at some point if you really
scream out your
window,
say, I want it on demand.
Don't pay any extra money.
No, I demand this.
I demand this film.
Now.
So that was our review roundup, guys.
Cavalcade. Stampede of...
I thought it was good. I thought we covered a lot of ground in a long period of time. So let's take a quick break, Jared. We'll be back with a little music and Under the Scope right after this.
It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds, the Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie.
Hit it! Well, I picked a song from the Funk this week. Spoiler alert, the song's about the Hunger Games and gives away a lot, so listen in. This is Jesse Smith, love theme from the Hunger Games, here on the Scope.
All right, hey, thanks, everybody. Boy, it sure is great to have such a fantastic turnout here at Scary Fairy Dairy Con in the Peaksville Holiday Inn. Hey, it's the only fan convention where the costumes are made entirely of cheese. That's right. And speaking of cheese, that last number we did was Star Wars, Those Near and Far Wars, made famous, of course, by the great Bill Murray. And I would like to keep the cheese a-coming with something we call the love theme from the Hunger Games. That's right. Hey, shake me a little samba, Bubba. That's right.
The Hunger Games are so not right. Don't want to play, don't want to fight. But long before you've had your fill, you're going to have to kill and kill. And kill and kill and kill. And kill and kill again. Even your boy. Friend. Although he's not really your boyfriend, it's just pretend, it's complicated. Remember when the reaping came, and how they drew your sister's name? It's no surprise her place you took, 'cause otherwise there'd be no book. And just to tease the female readers, they had you join up with Hunky Peter. Will the capital watch you kiss before your death? Don't hold your breath. Fireballs come raining down. Tracker jackers chase you around. You rack your brain and try to think. As Haymitch has another drink, there must be something you can do. Some way you can make it through. Wolf mutations jump and snap. You can't take much more of this crap. If only you could fly away, my pretty little mockingjay. Oh, won't you fly into my arms? I'll keep you safe from danger.
Harm!
My heart will float down from the blue, floating down from me to you, like a silver parachute from above, bringing you a gift of love.
Thank you.
come and go, but you're on fire from head to toe. Your heart is like a burning coal, and my heart is the one you stole. At the risk of sounding stupid, your bow and arrow reminds me Cupid rules a game that's bigger than anything the capital's game makers can come up with. Life's arena is cold and cruel. Try to win, you're called a fool. You fight alone, but long for fate to send you help, a friend, a mate. The chance is slim, yet every day the hunger forces you to play. 'Cause when you're hungry for love, love is a game. A game the hungry play, because love is a hunger game.
Water.
There's more of the scope dead ahead.
Under the scope. And we are back with more scope goodness and the scope news. Now it's time to bring this bitch home, Adam.
Here's news to me. Your pull list is ridiculous. That
what? $50.
All right.
If comics are $4 a crack,
okay,
you know,
that's fine.
For
one week. That's 1 week.
Is that a week or
no,
a month?
No, this is a month.
Oh, okay. Oh. Okay. I thought it was a week.
Here's what they're doing with comic books now. Instead of doing a lot of different series or miniseries for things that you would like, say, X-Men or Avengers, they're doing two or three issues a month of a given title to get more money. So, because they know that people will buy those over, hey, this is the Avengers Christmas special, four-issue limited series.
Sure.
But we'll just do Avengers 24 or 25 this month instead. So that kind of sucks. Anyway, there you go. That's my commentary.
They're taking advantage of the 15 remaining comic
book
buyers.
That's absolutely what
there.
They are.
Smart. All right.
Go ahead. News.
News. Entertainment news, guys.
Right away.
Did you know they're making a sequel to X-Men Origins Wolverine?
Yes.
You did.
By a film.
A film, yeah,
yes.
Sequel.
Like they were doing another Wolverine movie. Those are popular.
It was supposed to film in Japan, and then the whole tsunami happened.
Saki
and
Itumi, baby.
Whoa.
And that was Darren Aronofsky who was,
was
going
to
direct it initially.
Yeah, so it's actually happening. The Australian government of New South Wales announced today, they're the ones that sent out press releases now, the much-delayed production of The Wolverine. It's the first Wolverine movie, guys.
It's The.
The Wolverine. Will begin shooting this August and star Hugh Jackman's hometown of Sydney. Now you say oi.
Oi.
Right. Oi, mate.
Production will eventually move to Japan, where the film's main location. So, let's see. Yes, Darren Aronofsky departed the project last year, pushing back the production. And Fox eventually went with Walk the Lions director James Mangold. Sounds
that's
like a
exciting
football player. And Hugh Jackman has been keeping busy with his one-man show on Broadway. Do you think Hugh Jackman's gay, or do you think that's just like an easy way for like us dudes to be like put down a good-looking dude that just happens to like also do Les Mis and one-man shows?
I honestly do not believe he is gay.
Okay,
Jared, Hugh Jackman, gay or not gay?
I don't think so. I think there's been so many opportunities for us to find out if he actually truthfully is, and
yeah.
There has never been.
He just likes theater. He likes performing.
Just good.
What sort of opportunities have you had, Jared?
He's too. I mean, he's just been in a lot of things.
You're
out there.
You're not stalking him, are you? Come on, Hugh.
Well, do you have the reason you don't have four of these cameras is because two of them are at Hugh Jackman's house?
So very true.
All right,
you're on to you're like a good private eye over here. You're a
two
private
sides. Random SNL reference.
Yes,
I like it.
Yes. This just in, Jennifer Love Hewitt still talking about her boobs.
Just in. It's a hot off the press.
Look, that's what the headline said. All right. I'm just stealing the snarky headline from Entertainment Weekly.
Are we talking about her new show, The Client List?
We're talking about her appearance on Jimmy Kimmel on Friday night.
Oh, really?
Where she was talking about The Client List and the titillating ads. Good one, EW. Which are basically, it's like her in a bikini, but barely. And she's just like sitting on the floor cross-legged and her cans are all popping out.
Has she appeared naked? I mean, have we actually seen full boobage with her?
Jared, pull up Mr. Skin right now. Let's find out. I don't want this in my search history. You don't have to do that.
I'm going to do it while you're talking.
Of her billboard-sized cleavage, Jennifer Love Hewitt noted, "Thank God none of them have been put up in my grandmother's neighborhood yet." She later laughed, "They're like King Kongs." I don't understand what that means. Kimmel presented her with a piece of one of the billboards that was being taken down. And so there's a clip online of...
Oh, boy. Right away, we've got boobs.
Wow.
No. Hers?
They're not letting me search. There's just a lot of boobs.
Okay, I just wanted to...
Oh, you have to pay for it. Mr. Skin is not free.
What?
Porn. Celebs titles. Let's
porn on the internet is free.
Who's that girl?
I don't know. Like the whole celeb thing here is a little...
Jennifer Love Hewitt, right here.
Click on it. Click.
Let's see. Oh, I got to join.
Okay, do you have a secret credit card that Carrie doesn't know about? No? All right, we're not doing
PayPal account.
What a bummer.
Love it if you said yes, and then she was one of the people watching right now.
I'll never know.
Okay, I'll do it later.
Okay.
Mandy. let's see. Next up, Halo 4. Shane, you play Halo.
Of course I do. Jared, play them all.
Jared, are you a Halo fan?
No.
He's too
I mean, I like it, but I'm not good at those games, so...
Shane, are you excited? Halo 4 has been announced, and it's coming out worldwide November 6th.
I'm excited, I guess. I did see the premiere of the game via the Conan O'Brien.
Conan,
which was pretty funny, actually.
Yes, where they put him into the game.
Yes. And he was making fun. He was sitting with two developers. He was making fun of their names.
He
was doing his act.
Kitty Wolf Pride or whatever. Yeah. She had some bizarre name.
And then he was doing it. They asked him if he could do accents. And he started doing accents for his character. And one went into Jay Leno, which was pretty funny.
Yes.
He goes, when he did his Jay Leno, and he goes, oh, this guy would get killed right away. see, my delivery is just.
This has been
Conan.
Adam and Shane review this week's Conan episodes. Yeah. So that's all. I just wanted to. I know that you play.
Yeah,
I haven't played since Halo 1. I don't think.
I think once we hit E3, which is coming up in a matter of weeks, we'll have a lot more video game news to talk about.
Yeah.
Do you have the June. Do you have the story in there about the Xbox 360 sales?
No.
How they're down like 50% this past quarter.
Oh, okay.
And that's the best selling console in America. So
well, it's the end of the
it's time
cycle.
For a new Xbox, Jared. That's what they're saying.
Do people care though?
We'll see. I don't know.
Is it they down because they've just sort of reached a saturation point?
Yeah, everybody has one.
Everybody.
If you have one, Adam?
If you don't have one, then you suck.
Adam has one.
You know
Jared
I
has
do.
One. Of course you do.
Yeah, I do have one. I use it to watch TV shows and movies mostly. I don't play a lot of games.
I finally hit...
media center hub.
I prestiged in Modern Warfare 3.
Finally, huh?
And I was like, all right, I did that. I'm going to stop playing now.
Yeah.
I have not stopped playing Skyrim.
I do
still.
Use it.
I'm going through everything.
Yeah, I do use mine as a media center, paired with the Plex app as a media server. Works really great.
Nice.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Nerds. let's see. Do we care that HBO? You can't watch DirecTV HBO shows if you have a standard def TV anymore.
No, is that a thing though?
Yeah, like. So TVs for a while now have had this HDCP encryption, which is, you know...
What does that stand for?
High def content... content...
Protection.
Protection. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
And it's part of HDMI, you know, the great cables that we're all using now, so we don't have to have, like, six different things plugged into stuff. HDMI carries audio and video.
Everything.
It's
in
great.
One little cord.
I think there's technically a thing called Ethernet over HDMI or HDMI over Ethernet, too.
Yep. Can you confirm that, Jared?
It does exist. Okay. I was when I was investigating getting a long HDMI cable to run down here, one of the options was with Ethernet. But you have to have devices on either end. It doesn't give you an Ethernet plug.
Ah, okay. Why would you run a long cable down here, by the way?
Because I'm thinking of upgrading my monitor to... This is the one I have down here right now is running on a VGA cable.
Gotcha.
And I want that crisp, clean digital connection.
Of course you do.
So
There you go.
So, and this is actually, I've seen this come up in the past with the Sony's, the PS3 Blu-ray player. There are some TVs it won't output to. It won't output Blu-ray to because of the same thing.
Hmm.
But anyway, this...
Sony's got a bigger problem.
Out of the blue chain. So right now, you can't watch HBO shows if you're with DirecTV if you have a standard def TV anymore. And DirecTV and HBO have not made any sort of comments about it. So it's kind of unknown at the moment if that's just kind of like a permanent thing.
Well, we'll come back to the story as it requires, I'm sure, every week.
They say you'll
investigate and research.
Oh. All right.
You call into your sources.
Buffett rule. Failed in the Senate? You guys want to...
That was all for show, was it not?
It was never going to pass the House.
Yeah, of course not, Jared.
Right.
And he's got cancer as well.
Who's got cancer? Warren Buffett.
Yes. So a great week for anything with the word Buffett in it.
They found
he's very optimistic, though. They found it really early, and of course, he's got plenty of money to fight that with.
Yeah.
He can do all kinds of experimental stuff like Steve Jobs did.
South Park.
They'll cut it out with platinum... Platinum Doctor Tools.
That makes it better.
Yeah, it's a cleaner cut.
All right. It was not a big week for news, or at least from where I always steal them from on Reddit. Diablo. Do you guys ever? I don't.
Diablo Cody. Yeah, she's got a great new film.
Did you ever play? Also, I did not like that movie that much.
No, the young adult.
Yeah, young adult.
I want to see that movie.
It reminded me too much of people I know. I guess it was frustrating.
Hits a little close to home, huh?
Yeah. Diablo 3. One, Diablo 1 and 2.
Who cares?
Did you ever play those?
Never.
What about you, Jared?
No.
You're not an RTS guy. It's not an RTS. It's a dungeon crawler.
I don't like
to crawl in dungeons.
No. What do you like to do in dungeons?
Chop shit up.
What? All right. So you guys
As you can tell, I've never played a dungeon crawler.
I like to disable the skeleton spawner that exists in the dungeon. Hey, Minecraft. There you go.
Well, the open beta or is Gauntlet. This weekend.
Sure. That too.
So if you like Diablo 3 and you're listening to this on Monday, you're too late.
You're talking about that on your Facebook, aren't you?
I'm really excited about it.
I can hear it in your voice.
I'm upset that I'm here and not playing that.
No. So what classes are you taking right now?
At school?
Yeah.
Right now I'm taking a political science class.
And you're going to fail that.
What's that?
You're going to fail that.
I've got an A so far.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they're undergraduate classes.
He's the snarky guy sitting in the back.
They're online.
You probably come in pajama pants.
They're online.
Wow. Not even worse.
I did not know pajama pants aroused him so much.
And they're pajama jeans. Jean jammas. What are those called?
I'm not thinking of actual pajama bottoms. So are you playing Diablo while you're taking your poli-sci class?
Well... No, because I just don't do any of the work until the day it's due.
Does it, do you go on, for an hour every other day and you talk to the teacher through IM? Is that how your online classes work? Or are you just...
No.
There's no communication with a prof?
There's, forums that you have to post to, and you have to, respond to classmates' posts, and you have to make your own posts, and you have to... There's usually requirements for that. My poli-sci class has no requirements like that, so it's really easy.
Do you ever put up, your fringe fanfic?
Where would I put that?
Right in your forum. Your poli-sci forum. This reminds me of episode 22 this year of Fringe. When Olivia meets her doppelganger. In a very political way.
I would love to see someone like that. That's the concept of a sitcom where everything they do is... Actually, that's just Abed. I just realized from Community.
It's already been done.
Yeah. All right.
Dreamatorium.
hey, you were talking about E3 earlier.
Of course I was.
Did you know
I'm
that?
Tapped into things.
Did you know that Nintendo has a new console coming out probably later this year?
Yeah,
and
it's called the Nintendo
Wii U.
Wii U, yes. Which my guess of that name will be changing.
And
to the PU,
the PU. No one's buying.
They have confirmed. This is pretty crazy.
So you're telling me we got official confirmation from Miyamoto?
Yes, that a specific game will be coming out for the Wii U. A Mario game.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Jared, I wish right now you had a sound effect with car brakes squealing.
I will work on that.
Or just dishes breaking?
It's part of my plan to have
How about,
songs.
No, you know what the right Jared, one is? It's a vinyl record scratching.
Yeah. I want to put this out there right now. I want to ask you a technical question.
Okay.
We're going to do it right on the show.
All
right. Is there any way that I could bring my laptop and we could plug it into your board and I could control sound effects here?
You want? Why do you want to do my job?
Because I want to do sound effects against you one time.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's certainly. I have lots of inputs on my board here. It wouldn't be that hard to.
I just got
to pipe it in.
I just got an idea.
You could
that's
probably
all.
Pipe your iPad in.
I'm just going to request that someone
take that clip of Jared saying, "I've got lots of inputs," and do something like
done. That's going to be first greatest hits.
I've got lots of inputs on my board.
I've got lots of inputs.
That was the last news story. Like I said, there's not that much. It's kind of a slow week, and I had like
you didn't talk Viking Stadium. You didn't talk
slow clap. No
abomination.
No one cares about those.
You didn't talk the rising poll numbers of Mitt Romney.
He's going to be president. It's okay.
That's a scary thought.
Do you think he's going to be president?
I'd say
around the room, Adam.
I'd say no,
Jared.
You know, asked me 2 weeks ago. No way. Now I'm not so sure. I'm still going to say no. Tentative no.
I say no as well.
That's going to be close.
I think it's going to be hell on wheels. This political campaign season.
Maybe not. Maybe it won't be.
Everyone's already forgotten the positions that Romney took in the past, and now he's got brand new centrist positions.
Yes. Well, let's hope.
That's how he's going to win. If he wins.
He wasn't born with a silver spoon in his mouth, says Obama.
He wasn't born with a third testicle or nipple, either.
Mm-mm. Who was? Mitt Romney?
No, Chandler Bing from Friends.
You mean Mrs. Chandler Bing. And that's news!
I feel like this show, you know what it's missing? Friends references.
So no one told you life was going to be that way, Jared.
Fall into the fountain.
And that was news.
That was news. What's Hit next? It. You're supposed to say stuff.
Oh, yeah. Coming soon. I'm waiting for my cue. I'm waiting for my news outro into the coming soon intro.
I don't have a news outro.
That's why I need sound effects.
April 24th.
Maybe when we do the reboot of the show, we'll have a news outro just for you, Shane.
I love
for
it. You.
Can we have a special news intro? Because we never have music for that.
What? Special news?
Like, we have breaking news.
We'll come up with a punch list of things we need.
God, we have got so much work to do. I mean, Jared and I have so much work to do.
I don't know if you heard, I'm in school.
I haven't.
And I'm playing Diablo 3.
While posting Fringe.
Diablo Cody Fringe fanfic, yes.
Jared, he's in school.
I hear. That's what I heard.
April 24th.
I didn't know that Clown College had an online course.
Wow.
Hi-yo.
Oh, that one you had ready.
Eve 6 has an album April 24th.
Eve 6 has an album coming out. Jack White.
Oh, was that White.
Hey,
there wasn't a joke.
Do you guys feel like Jack White is like overly celebrated by the music press?
They love him.
I think so, but I also think he does really good stuff too.
What do you think of his new song? I just heard it on the radio. It's something goofy.
It's fine. It sounds like a Jack White song.
But it's like, what's the subject matter? It's something strange, like my TV dinner or something like that. It's really weird.
I don't know. I don't listen to lyrics. Speaking of which, I saw Reggie Watts two Fridays ago, and I'm going to say live, second best live performance I've ever seen.
Who?
Reggie Watts. Testament has a new album coming out. The Dandy Warhols. Those guys are still around.
Wow, this is all throwback music. What the hell?
Everything. Yeah. There's nothing new, Jared.
And the Raveonettes. Nothing new. May 1st, B.O.B., or as I like to still think, that is just the Outkast song Bombs Over Baghdad, yeah. Just being played nonstop.
Get confused.
Carrie Underwood. Marilyn Manson.
Everything's throwback. Everything old is new again. What the hell?
Do we know anything about this Marilyn Manson?
Okay, I don't know. He's from Florida.
The name of Jack White's new song is called 16 Saltines, about 16 saltine crackers.
That's the serving size of saltines, I bet. Marilyn Manson.
Is it all about how he really wants that 17th one, but he's watching his figure?
It's about how he gets dry mouth.
Yeah. Marilyn, have we heard this new album? Has anyone heard it?
Oh, God, have I.
Did you guys like Marilyn Manson when he was new?
Never.
No? I kind of did, but...
I didn't dislike him, but I wasn't a huge fan.
Yeah. Norah Jones. You know, he was on... he played Paul in the Wonder Years. Norah Jones did.
Norah Jones, or as I like to say, the person who's on every soft music-based Pandora channel you create.
Oh, God.
Maybe stop Norah
Jones
or
Jack Johnson.
Porn,
so, a.k.a. all of your favorite Pandora stations.
Pretty much. I always use Norah Jones as a seed artist. That's my problem. That's my problem.
You said seed.
Rufus Wainwright has a new album. You know that guy? Son of Loudon.
He played Kevin Arnold's brother on the Warriors, by the way.
Son of Loudon Wainwright.
Wayne.
The third. I like that in your world, actors can only play characters that have their own name in their last names.
Yep.
Okay. Santa Gold.
She played...
I think it's Santa Gold. Come on.
It's
Santa Gold now. It used to be Santa Gold.
She played Ben Seaver's sister on Growing Pains.
Boner.
Chrissy
Boner's
Gold.
Sister.
Chrissy and Missy Gold.
The Brian Jonestown Massacre.
Yes.
Movies.
Yes.
April 27th, the 5-year engagement.
How long are they engaged? 5 years.
Safe.
Seems obvious.
Safe does. It's an easy one.
Safe is another one of the, what's his name? Jason Statham.
Jason Statham. Channing Tatum.
Pirates, The Band of Misfits. I don't know what that
my
is.
My daughter wants to see that movie.
Mark in it. And The Raven. So I don't know what's wrong with John Cusack, but he's in this The Raven movie.
It's a guy that should have a kick-ass career.
Seems like it, right?
I seemed like it was on a comeback a little bit there, but that he faltered.
And then May 4th, The Avengers. So are we going to see that together, the three of us?
Well, Carrie wants to see it, too.
No, I mean other people can see it.
Oh, yeah, we can try to make
that happen.
We're not
going to rent the theater just for us.
The Scope theater renting system.
Private screen.
We're going to be live broadcasting during that, too, yeah. So the MPA may have issues with it. I don't know.
Yeah, that's tricky.
DVDs, April 24th, Patton Oswalt's Finest Hour. That came out on audio a long time ago, so that's weird. The Real Housewives of Atlanta Season 2.
I know you're looking forward to that one. I like to put those in there.
May 1st, Haywire. Which one was Haywire?
Who the fuck
man, they
knows?
Really need to have better names for movies. I don't remember. Joyful Noise.
Queen Latifah, Dolly Parton.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. We.
Madonna's movie, I believe, that she directed.
Do you ever read We Three?
Yeah, I like
Grant,
it.
Grant Morrison. Mm-hmm. That is one
that'd
of the
be
saddest.
Good, be a good movie.
Yes. But no. That's too depressing. No, I guess you're right. The end is
it works out.
Yeah,
it works
one,
out.
It's one third okay. New Year's Eve.
Perfect timing.
Benson Season 2.
I know, you love that.
Transformers, the Japanese collection. Super God Master Force.
Yeah, that sounds just about right, doesn't it?
They're just fucking with us now.
I think so.
April 22nd, that's next week. Prototype 2 comes out. Did you guys play Prototype?
Never. One.
I like
How
it.
How dare no. you? Why would you even say that?
What? It was like a sandboxy type?
Kind of, yeah.
You're actually
it's,
building
it's
castles.
Open world. it's an open world type game, but you get superpowers. And,
mutations.
And you're a bad guy, kind of. And it was similar. There's a PS3 only game that's almost the exact same thing as, which I can't remember what that name is. So, good story. We go April
good,
20,
stuff. Good stuff.
April 29th, The Walking Dead. It is a point and click adventure game. So
essentially, yes.
Keep that in mind.
So the perfect way to experience any sort of zombie game. Point and click.
I usually...
If you like Sam and Max, I guess
I
it is.
I point my gun at them and click the trigger, Shane.
There you go.
Click, click, boom.
I think the best way to fight zombies is with a mouse.
Yeah.
Real quick.
I think it's been proven.
If you had to have one weapon to fight off zombies, what would it be? The answer right now. Oh, you guys, come on.
Katana.
A katana. All right.
Yeah.
Michonne.
Some sort of long-edged weapon.
Long-edged weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's fine.
Or a salad shooter. I got good ideas with that.
Yeah. Well, that chop thing. You could just put their heads in it. Yeah.
Give me your hand, zombie.
I love it when zombies cooperate with you. I hadn't seen the trailer for Abe Lincoln Vampire Hunter until I watched it by
myself.
It's
almost like a joke, isn't it?
Well, the book is very tongue-in-cheek, I feel like, and it loses all of that in at least the trailer because it seems to take itself really seriously. And I kind of liked the book. Like, it wasn't great, but it was, like, a fun thing to listen to. I just listened to the audiobook.
I didn't say, was that Abe Lincoln on our Coming Soon for next week?
No.
Why are we talking about it?
I don't know.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. I think it looks fantastic.
It's coming soon.
I wasn't saying anything bad about it.
It's fantastic.
I think the trailer makes it look like it's a very serious movie, and I feel like that movie should have a sense of humor about it.
Jared likes presidents kicking ass on the undead. Period.
No, because he's talked about how he hates the idea of James Harrison as a zombie hunter. So that's not true at all.
Well, certain presidents.
Right. One president.
One.
Barack Obama.
Barack Obama. Ruining our country and kicking ass on vampires.
I'm going to mention one more thing.
Please.
Last night I played 5 hours of Cards Against Humanity, and I don't know if you guys have ever played
this
game. This is it's apples to apples, but with way
cooler. Is this all this bullshit you and your friends are posting on Facebook about how board games and card games are the new hot thing?
Sure, probably.
All right.
And
you've got a whole life going on outside of this. You know that, don't you?
I do know that.
You've got a whole group of friends. It's like the big chill, Jared. You know, all these cute...
That Keanu Reeves movie?
They got all these cute girls. There's always, like, a picture of, like, 8 cute girls and then Adam, like, in the background.
Yeah. I look photoshopped into that picture.
He never looks like he's in the picture.
And he never...
Like, Adam is tagged in this picture. I see, like, just a little bit of his hair and glasses. Like, and they don't want you in the pictures.
The thing is about Adam, too, he never wants for fresh fruit. It's always there.
There's
always a bowl on the table.
All your friends have fresh fruit.
It's amazing.
They take joy.
I mean, they're going to cabins. They're going to lake houses.
Yeah,
we don't go to lake houses.
Cabin in the woods. Adam is close to the point in his life where all that stuff will stop, but he's living it up while he can.
Does he think he's got a lot of rich friends? Is that what's going on?
I think he's got a lot of friends who are making a decent income and don't have a lot of obligations.
They're all going to school online.
I'm rich in friendship.
Well, there you
are. Are you going to this?
What's
Phoenix
the exchange
online?
Rate on the, with the euro on that one?
Yeah.
University of Phoenix.
Are you going to Phoenix? Are you rising from the ashes?
Considering that my girlfriend works for a direct competitor of the University of Phoenix, yes, I am.
That's the Adam that I like.
I said, fuck you and you're too good for me.
Whoa, language guys.
Oh, we're broadcasting live.
Yeah, standards of practice is going to crack down on us.
All right, that's enough dissecting, Adam.
I was going to say, here's what happened in that game last night, though.
Oh, we're back to this.
You played
bullshit.
Apples to Apples.
Of course we played it.
Yes.
The
I never win.
The match card, you know, the original card was Barack Obama is blank, and
sexy.
The winning card was a motherfucking wizard.
Ooh, I like
that. That's the one that I picked.
Sounds like Ice Cube was a fan of that game.
Embrace your stereotypes. Jared, wrap it up.
All right.
Under the scope.
Yeah, we're going to do some comments here. If you are watching,
we've got comments,
John, and you have a question to ask us, go ahead and type it, pop it up there in the chat room, and we'll try to answer that.
I would suggest asking about Adam's second semester.
At one point, it said we had 8 viewers, so maybe your count is wrong.
I have one. Maybe there's a guest there as well, maybe. But John did ask something earlier, and I don't I apologize. I don't remember the context of this. He says, better question, does it even matter?
4 inches is fine, Jared.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you. Otherwise, I don't have any other comments. Apparently, our last episode was not
well received by the masses.
I know. Well, whatever. Those people won't know what the hell they're talking about.
They can kiss it.
I know there was supposedly a response from the great Luke Ski via email about the whole SNL battle we were in. 2 points on that. Number one, I never saw the email. I don't know where it went. I never got it, Luke, so I'm not ignoring your comments. I just never saw them. Number two, I'm just sort of choosing to not go through that battle anymore. I think we've both set our pieces, and there's no use or any mileage in revisiting it. Moving on.
We're back in. Jared, I have a quick question.
Yes.
We got a voicemail from, it was like a weird voicemail.
Oh, yeah.
From like a guy that was talking.
Oh, shit, do I still have that?
That thing was bizarre.
I don't think I have it anymore.
If we can find it and play it in a different show, we could play it anytime, but it was weird.
What happened? Was it like
it sounded like a drunk African American guy rambling on about something. I don't know what it was. It was very strange.
It may have been a wrong number.
I think it was the absolutely correct number.
You think so?
I don't think so. I think it was Adam's poli sci teacher calling in.
Oh, I'm also taking a biology and ethics class.
Well,
that's all.
Two things you don't know much about.
I'm trying to learn more. Like, that's fair.
Jared's keep talking about your class. I'm trying to get into...
Really?
I need to add a stupid number?
Do you? So is it biology and ethics together?
Yes, that is one class.
So tell me what the...
It's about, like, global warming, you know, like...
Oh, this liberal agenda again.
The science behind it, and then, you know, the impacts. Cloning, you know, the political impact of it, why, you know, it's... stuff like that. So it's definitely a science class with a...
with a fun twist.
I wouldn't call
with
it fun.
With a Hunger Games twist.
I got the call. You ready?
Yeah. Pop that music down. On three. 1, 2, 3.
What are you... I'm trying to work here, damn it.
Hey, what's up, Wayne? It's Jerry Wolf, K5. I just want to know what talking about on the ticket. You can call back at 665-0599.
Try and bleep that out, huh?
I didn't know what's coming.
No, he didn't give us a... He didn't give us an area code. I mean...
Yeah, he did. 665.
No, did. Is that it?
It's still playing, but
he didn't even know he hung up.
No.
Hey, Wayne. Again.
Man, you know we always.
Terry.
Take five. I just want to know what's talking about on the ticket.
What are you talking about on the ticket? I think that's what I heard. I don't know if that's real. I don't know what's going on there.
Terry and Wayne, what are you talking about on the, what, on the ticket?
Yeah.
We did it, guys. We made it big. We got
in the chat room, John has been accusing us of being racist, and he says, okay, he does sound black. Accusation rescinded. So apparently, yeah.
John, it's all about color with you.
Yeah. That's all I got. You know,
plugs.
If I'm going to do my regular wrap-up, if you don't mind.
On three.
If
one,
you
two,
have
and
some
three.
Crazy crazy accusations you want to throw our way, you can call a voicemail line at 612-21-SCOPE.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Terry.
If you got something to say about the ticket,
612-217-2673. You can email us at comments@thescopeshow.com. Not sure what happened to your email, Luke. Again, sorry. It just isn't there. And you can also like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. And now you can check us out live on ustream.tv/channel/slash. That's not a word. The-scope-live.
Back to me?
Bringing it live. Mm. No, I got more, I guess. iTunes reviews, you know, those are always welcome. Donations, there's a button on the website at scopeshow.com if you want to click on that.
We get so many iTunes reviews. I mean, we can't even keep track.
No, we get, we've sort of...
I give up. It's too much.
Can we get some Zune reviews?
We're looking for obscure Zune reviews.
I don't know where we'd even see those, but sure. Go ahead and plug a review in that Zune box. Whatever that is.
And then we will go on to my personal loved Sony Walkman reviews. They can send it to us on cassette tape.
Yes. If you would like to give us an Audi review on cassette tape and mail it to us. We've
got a player right there.
We will actually open a P.O. box just for that case.
Jared's got a double dual cassette player over there.
It's not dual, it's one. I can only handle one tape at a time, Shane.
So I was really hoping you could fade in LL
Cool J. I will
not
be doing some high-speed dubbing up in this bitch. It's one tape at a time.
Yo, what about the ticket?
What about that ticket? We're never going to know.
Do you think Wayne and Terry are going through some serious friend problems? Because Wayne need to know about the ticket.
Yeah.
And we're sort of, we blocked him. We cock-blocked him.
Honestly, I don't think we'll ever know the end of this story. That's the troubling thing. It's like when a TV show, one of your favorite shows, only gets 7 episodes and gets canceled.
Journeyman.
You never get to know the resolution. That's where we are right now. We're
Cop Rock.
We've been left at the edge of a cliff.
It could have been worse. It could have. We could have gotten the finale, and it's terrible. Fringe. Yeah. Mm.
As always, one of our best sources of revenue and how you can keep the show going is head over to our website and click on that Amazon link in the sidebar. Small portion of your sale goes to us and helps keep the lights on and also helps fund our brand new streaming enterprise right here.
It's a huge enterprise.
Yes.
Enterprise D.
Exactly right. That's all I got. Back to you.
All right. Well, terrific beta test of the stream.
We actually had one stoppage, like it just stopped. I don't know if there was a hard cap at 90 minutes or something for Ustream, or if we just lost bandwidth or something. I don't know, but I'll look into that. Figure that out.
Well, you'll be able to find me May 1st at my local record store waiting for the new Carrie Underwood album. And following Adam in his online forum class. That's what I'm going to be doing the next 2 weeks.
All right. I got nothing.
You got nothing?
I will be in Columbus, Ohio.
At the Laugh Factory.
For the entire month of August and a few months in May and June. I don't know. I'll be back here before then, so I don't even know why we're talking about it.
Are you going to be gone for a month?
Yeah. I mean, I'll be back on the weekends.
Oh, great. Well, we're doing the scope then. We are doing it, Jared.
We could always try to do it remotely, but I have a few plugs, if you're all right.
Please, give us a real plug.
Tuesday, April, we're in April, April 24th on the Fump, that's thefump.com.
Yes.
My band Possible Oscar will be releasing a new single.
Nice.
Get ready for that.
Can you tease a title, or is that got to wait?
It has something to do with boobs.
All right, well,
just like this whole episode.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Pretty much. I can announce now officially that we will be returning to Convergence.
I heard.
Playing in Harmonic Convergence on Saturday. Oop, lost connection again. Awesome. Here we go.
What's that, the 7th?
He got a great time too, Adam. Wait till he tells you.
Okay. It's keeping us in suspense.
Okay, I can't seem to restart the stream, so whatever. Sorry, kids. Anyway...
Yeah, Saturday, July 7th, 8:30 p.m.
That is amazing.
It's a bit of a mixed bag. It's a nice Saturday night slot. It is up against the Masquerade, though.
Oh, it is?
Saturday night. Masquerade is usually like 7:30 till, or 8 o'clock till whenever. I don't
those
care.
Assholes.
Whatever. I mean,
no,
what
I'm
do?
Pissed.
I'd rather do that than on, Saturday afternoon or
we
whenever
we better eat
we're
early,
going.
Jared. Okay. Yeah. Usually we eat during Masquerade.
Hey, it's Friday, Saturday,
that's
and
that's
Sunday,
all
right?
It's Thursday.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Jeez. Okay. I'm going to go this year, guys.
All right. Kick ass. All right. We got all our bases covered. Episode 122. Great show, guys. Jared, I want to applaud you with your effort.
What about me?
I'm going to give Adam a little bit of applause for trying to make himself better as a human being.
All right.
By learning.
I wouldn't say I'm learning.
And playing card games with all his fun friends. So we're going to be back in 2 weeks. We're doing it 2 weeks with Summer Movie Overview, Avengers Review, and more live streaming beaming right under your computer.
These are all guaranteed.
Trying to, at least.
So for Jared, Adam, and myself, Shane.
Hold on. Too much to juggle here. All right, are we wrapping it up? All right.
For Adam, Jared, and Shane, myself, thanks for listening. God bless America, and God bless the scope.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying good night. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.